Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By for Friday, the 30th of September, 2011. I am Craig Jones, and I am joined, as usual, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Hello.
I'm scared. What the hell was that?
I have no idea.
Neither do I. Are you drunk? Have you been drinking?
Other than Pepsi, no.
Well, good.
It's Diet Pepsi, so you never know. It might be the aspartame.
Yeah, it might be. It might well be. All right. So just try to control yourself. Okay.
Try
to contain your enthusiasm. And on that note, let's start talking about technology. It's Tech Friday, everybody. Whee! And we get to talk about technology. It's my favorite topic, and it's a surefire way to get us all in a good mood. Because who doesn't like technology, right?
Many people.
Exactly. Hey, just rain on my parade, Chemslave. Just rain on my parade.
Right. There's this town, area in West Virginia where supposedly you can't have cell phones and stuff. So all the people who have allergies to Wi-Fi signals are moving there.
You know, all the people that have allergies to cell and Wi-Fi signals, they are lying pieces of crap, and they just want attention. And they want to be able to sue somebody and get a shitload of money.
Of course.
Either that, or they might, some very tiny minority of them, might have some legitimate disease that we don't know about yet.
I doubt it.
I do, too. I do, too. I'm a charitable person, though. I want to give some people a little bit of a benefit of a doubt. But you're absolutely right, not likely. Not likely at all. But you know what? Technology sometimes could be a positive or negative story. And we have a mixture of both in store for you. Because one of the biggest tech companies in the world, the biggest maker of PCs in the world, HP, has been going through some trials and tribulations recently. Now, Chemslave, you will recall the sex scandal, quote-unquote, that forced the long-term CEO, Mark Hurd, out of the company in May, I guess, of last year, of 2010. Mark Hurd had been the CEO since 2005, when Carly Fiorina was forced out. And he oversaw a period of, quite frankly, positive growth. And HP was a well-thought-of brand, and they were really well positioned. And Mark Hurd was the one that bought Palm, and he was the one that championed John Rubinstein and the WebOS development as the future of technology and the future of HP. And then the board kinda were getting a little bit antsy with him. They did not feel that he was consulting them enough. And there were some personality conflicts on the board, between the board and Mark Hurd. So, they canned him. And they used as a pretext some cockamamie, possibly made up, sex scandal involving expense reports. So, anyway, he was out. And so they had to hire a new CEO. And so naturally, they will look overseas and hire this German guy that was forced out of a totally unrelated company for doing such a bad job of running that company.
Well, because they're logical and they knew that that would actually help their company.
That's right. So, that's exactly what they did. They hired Leo Apotheker.
Leo!
Leo! Yep. Leo! Yeah, he is a German businessman who ran one of the biggest tech companies in the world and one of the biggest in Europe, SAP, an information systems group, an enterprise company dealing with information. very much like IBM and Oracle are now. And he was forced to resign from that company because he basically, excuse me, he basically ran it to the ground. He almost destroyed that company. So as a reward, he was brought into HP, and he basically went on to destroy HP. Let's go through the many missteps of HP in the 11 months that he was serving as CEO. First off, he kills WebOS. He lays off 500 WebOS hardware division people. He announces that HP, the biggest, most powerful personal computing company in the world, was going to get out of the PC business. And, most importantly, the share price, the stock price of HP dropped 25% over the course of his tenure as CEO. And all throughout this time was botched announcement after botched announcement after botched announcement, with an executive team that was in disarray and a board that very quickly lost confidence in its CEO. HP is in a very difficult position now. They are facing strategic threats in the personal space from Apple and in the business space from Oracle and IBM. And they have really no clear vision for what to do in the future. And this is absolutely Leo Apotheker's fault. He tried to fundamentally change HP, but evidently had very little clear sense of how to get there. And so he was fired last week. Now, Chemslave, it's interesting who they brought in as his replacement.
Who did they bring in?
Meg Whitman.
Really?
Do you know who she is?
Well, former eBay CEO, and didn't she try to be some type of political...
She ran for the governorship of California. She tried to be governor of California. She lost. She ran as a Republican. She's a Republican, a moderate Republican, but a Republican. And she ran against Jerry Brown. And she ran a good campaign. And she came within 10 points of beating him. And in a Democrat-leaning state like California, that's not saying... that does not reflect poorly on her. And she was an excellent CEO of eBay. Now, some people will like to say that she did not do a good job. But she came to eBay... Excuse me. Wow. She came to eBay as CEO in 1998 when they had 14 employees. 14 employees. She left eBay in 2008 when they had over 1,400 employees and a valuation of over $1 billion, being one of the biggest destinations on the web. She built that place brick by brick, and she really infused into eBay a strong, cohesive identity. eBay is eBay in 2010, the same way, or 11, excuse me, I don't even know what the hell year I'm in, I'm sorry. eBay is eBay in 2011, the same as it was in 1996 when it first came on the scene. And that is due in large part to Meg Whitman. Now,
she did make at least one mistake that we know of.
And we're using that mistake right now, right?
Yes, Skype.
Yes, she bought Skype for, what was it, like $8 billion? No, no, that's not true. That's the price on Microsoft. No, actually, no. I think it was $8 billion. She spent many billions of dollars to buy eBay. And it's obvious...
Skype.
No, yeah, exactly. She, they already had eBay. I mean, she was in eBay. Yes, I'm sorry. Now I sound like I'm the one who's drunk.
It's contagious.
It is contagious, yes. Skype is contagious. No, you're absolutely right. She spent many billions of dollars to buy Skype. And it's obvious that eBay had no idea what the hell to do with Skype.
Well, not even that. They didn't even buy the core like technology behind Skype. They just bought Skype.
That's right. I forgot about that. They didn't even have access to the code. They just had access to the service itself. It was the most bizarre thing. And then the company that held the Skype IP technologies eventually bought a majority of stake. I'm not saying this right. They bought back from eBay a majority stake in the eBay, in the Skype brand. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me start over again. The company that held the Skype intellectual property bought from eBay a majority stake in the eBay brand and effectively made eBay a independent company once again. They bought eBay back. They bought Skype back from eBay. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Oh my god!
Okay. You were making fun of me the other day.
I know, I know.
So to speak.
It's karma. And karma is a bitch.
That it is.
It is. Okay, so I'm not going to repeat myself again. You know what I'm trying to say. The people that held Skype IP bought the Skype brand back from eBay. So, but, you know, Meg Whitman. She was no longer CEO at the time when they bought Skype back. So she wasn't responsible for this. But it turned out that, funnily enough, when Microsoft bought Skype, eBay still had a 30% share in the company. And Microsoft paid such an outrageous price for it that eBay ended up making money on the deal.
Nice.
So it was a net gain for them, but it took a long, long time to get to that point, and it was totally unexpected. And so that was definitely a big and major and very public stumble on Meg Whitman's part. But quite frankly, you know, everybody makes mistakes, and that was a huge one, I'll grant you. But still, you can't lose sight of the very basic fact that in terms of the core eBay property, she really did a fantastic job of letting that thing grow from an internet, from a .com bubble startup to the gigantic powerhouse that it is today.
So will she have the ability to fix HP again?
That is the key. And a lot of people are saying no, because she is a consumer technology visionary. You see that buzzword floating around her name all the time, a tech visionary. Too many people are called tech visionaries. But she actually could be called a visionary, I think, in my opinion. But she's always been focused on the consumer side of the equation. And now she has to deal with a company that, regardless of what they do with their PC business, is going to be heavily invested in the enterprise space. And she's going to have to learn very quickly what is necessary in order to not just survive, but to grow and to thrive in the enterprise space. And that it is not clear that she will be able to do that. But I think she will be able to. I think that she is, in fact, uniquely qualified to do this job. For one thing, she was a board member of HP for 8 months previous to her appointment as CEO. So she had a chance to acquaint herself with all aspects of HP's business. And quite frankly, I would be shocked if she wasn't being, if she wasn't asked if she wanted to be the CEO as far as 2 months ago in terms of internal board deliberations. She's probably had several months to very closely analyze the state of HP, so I'm sure she has a very clear idea of the state HP is in right now. The question is,
she doesn't catch the idiocy that is the board of HP.
You know, HP's board is one of the worst boards I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen some pretty bad ones. Yahoo's board is just terrible. The Apple board before Steve Jobs came back in 1997 was just terrible. But HP's board is one of the absolute worst. They hired Vaio Apotheker without even meeting the guy. I almost fell over when I saw that. They didn't even meet the man before they hired him.
So, who's some bed buddy is he?
Exactly. Somebody should look into that because it is bizarre. And because of that history, they think that Meg Whitman will also be similarly tainted and is a bad fit for the company. And I disagree totally. I think Meg Whitman, because of the experience she had in building not just a company, but an identity at eBay, and her experience in other business endeavors and in politics, I think really puts her in a advantageous position to run a company as big and, quite frankly, as troubled as HP. She has a very clear vision, a very tough personality, and I expect great things from Meg Whitman if she has the support to do it. If the board lets her make the changes that she wants to make, and if her executive team can be created and informed the way it should be, the way she wants it to be made, I think she stands a good chance of being an excellent executive. And the people that say that she will be terrible and that it's a bad fit, I think are letting politics get into their head a little bit because Meg Whitman is a Republican, and this is a typically liberal area of the country in Silicon Valley. And the tech community is typically liberal, and they see her politics, her failed bid for governor, and the disastrous eBay. Damn it, I said it again. The d disastrous Skype acquisition that she spearheaded. They see these stumbles, and they just tend to paint her whole portrait in the colors of those stumbles. And I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think that's fair. And I really would be as surprised if Meg Whitman does not at least somewhat improve HP. And I think she has the capacity to transform HP. What do you think?
Anything is possible. I'm really hoping that she turns this company around, but from what from the reports, they're probably still going to spin off the PC business,
I'm going
which
to make a
I'm
prediction. I'm going to make a prediction right now. She is not going to spin off the PC division. And she is going to reinstate some form of WebOS development. Whether that means working much more strenuously on getting a different hardware developer to, develop for the WebOS operating system, or whether it means building WebOS devices themselves, I don't know. It's probably more likely to be a licensing deal, just because they killed off the hardware division for WebOS. But I expect her to put up a much greater emphasis on the consumer side of the business, just for the basic fact that that's what she knows. She knows the consumer side of the business, and she's not going to abandon the enterprise. And indeed, I expect the enterprise side of the equation to grow under her auspices. But that being said, I think she has a healthy appreciation for the consumer, side of the equation. And if Vaio Apotheker was fired, he had to have been fired for a reason, and we know he was fired. He was forced out. So what was the reason that he was forced out? If it wasn't,
Probably doing that, while he's trying to spin off the hardware
that's
division.
exactly right. So if he was fired for doing that, why on earth would they continue with his vision? I th you know, The reports that said that they were still likely to spin off the PSG, the Personal Systems Group, which is where all the personal devices come from, like PCs and laptops and tablets and the webOS devices. They all came from the PSG group, the Personal Systems Group. And if HP were to spin that off, that is a validation of Dale Apothecary's vision. So why fire the guy if you're going to implement his vision? I don't get it. They said that they were still likely to do that when Meg Whitman was elected CEO. But I think that was only to provide stability and to not have a jarring circumstance, not throw the whole future of HP into doubt. They needed to latch on to some element of reality and some element of continuity. And to say that their overall outlook is unchanged provides that level of continuity. And Meg Whitman herself did say that she was going to review all plans for HP. So I fully expect for there to be several total 180s, including the spin-off and the webOS controversies. I expect both to remain with HP and both to flourish. So I don't know if you agree with me or not, but that's a prediction I am making, and I am going to stick with it, and I will be the first to admit if I'm wrong.
I really hope that your prediction comes true because Dark PCs, I've owned three of them. They're some really good pieces of hardware, other than the fact that my fan is starting to die, but that's probably more of me not cleaning the vent out often enough and using it all the time that probably caused that to die. But
No,
I
I'm.
really hope that that she fixes that problem.
No, I'm totally with you. I've owned one HP laptop, and I loved it. And I've experienced quite a few HP products, and they've all been very good. And they have good people and good technologies. And if those factors can be leveraged correctly, I think HP stands to be the king of the hill for a long time in the future. So that's something to keep in mind, and certainly within the next couple of years, we'll know what's going to happen. Within the next couple of months, they're going to announce what they're going to do with these various aspects of the company. So we'll know pretty soon what's going to happen. But we've also had some other important news in the tech space, haven't we, Chemslave?
Yep, Netflix is at it again.
Uh-oh, what did they do this time? Did they raise prices again?
No, something more bizarre.
What?
They're gonna split the company in half and have one do DVDs and the other do streaming video.
Sounds fantastic. So it's gonna be Netflix for streaming and Netflix for mail, right?
Nope, Netflix for streaming. And Quixtar for mail.
What the hell is Quixtar?
I have no idea, but that's the name they decided on. Is it quicker? I don't think anything's quicker than
And now,
streaming.
no, okay, now I'm being a little bit facetious here. I've been following this story with a good degree of fascination. And I have to say, Chemslave, I am 100, well, no, I can't say that. I am 90% supportive of what they're doing.
It is, while there are stories that say that it's quicksand and that it's gonna just gonna be a failure, I'm on the fence on this one.
I'm not. I really think this is going to be a positive move because Netflix is not killing off the DVD business, and they're not even spinning it off. It's just going to be a different service. But you'll see even the icon, it says Quixtar, a Netflix company. It's still Netflix. It's just a different brand that they're trying to create, because they're trying to move on. They're seeing this DVD side of the business as costly, both in terms of mailing and in terms of storage. And they see the future of entertainment consumption as streaming, as digital. So I fully expect that Netflix will put all of their R&D and development and all of their proceeds and profits into the streaming side, and eventually try to spin off the DVD side, or just let it languish in Siberia. But I think it's a smart move to clearly delineate between the two very different types of services, with very different types of people running those services. It provides an organizational clarity, and it's also it provides an organizational clarity, and also it helps separate two competing and very different businesses within the same company, which can be dangerous. You don't want to you don't want to have warring factions, too many that's funny. Too many companies have warring factions trying to best the other. It's not good. So if you have that this delineation, they're going to be in separate locations. One being in San Jose, and one in oh, what is that city? What's that city? Steve Wozniak used to live there before he started Apple. What is that? That's gonna bother me now. I forget. But the company is split even in its locations. So I think this is a smart move. The appropriate people get to focus on the appropriate aspects of the business. And if ever there comes a time where Netflix wants to maybe possibly sell off its DVD business, I think they'll be able to, and fully invest in the future. The future is not DVDs, the future is streaming. Now,
I'm more of a Quixer guy.
I want to talk to you about that, and I'm fascinated to know how you use Netflix. But I just want to mention, I have seen very little deep thought about this topic, because ChemSlave, think about what Netflix announced in 2010. Do you remember the big thing Netflix announced in 2010?
I forget which one of these big things that they announced.
Tell me if this means anything to you. House of Cards.
It's ringing a bell, I just don't know why.
It is a TV series
Okay.
that is in development, I believe. I'm just going off of memory. I don't have a news story handy to look at.
Okay, now I know.
But I believe Kevin Spacey was going to star in it. And it sounded like it was going to be a pretty hot TV series. It would be in the vein of some HBO or Showtime series. And Netflix is fully funding the production. So they are becoming a production company. And this is only one small step. It's only one series, with probably a limited number of shows. But that being said, it is a start. I think they are trying to really position themselves away from the content distribution side of the equation and into the content consumption side of the equation, both providing you with instant shows on the Netflix streaming, and providing you with original content or possibly content that they buy the rights to off of another company.
See, this makes more sense now.
I have seen no mention of this in the recent reporting, but I think it makes a lot of sense.
Maybe it's a flop, and it's nothing's gonna happen out of that.
Well, I think you would have seen a headline about that. Let's do a search right now. Take a look. House of Cards. Hello, Google. And I guess you're going to have to add Netflix on there.
Yes, I found a site from Thursday, March 17th from the Netflix blog. Late 2012, we'll be bringing the U.S. and Canada exclusive showing of House of Cards.
Yep, good. So, you know, this is, I believe, the start. If they are even a little bit successful with this, I can see them doing a lot of original programming. I can see them doing a lot of possibly saving programs that were canceled by other networks. And if they become a content production company as well as consumption company, that would provide them extra leverage in terms of streaming. Trying to get licensing deals for these streaming services. They did have to have deals in place to distribute the DVDs, but it was far less difficult. And you can see that by their catalog. In terms of the DVD side of the Netflix business, they have everything imaginable.
That's why I prefer
without
the DVD side.
Fail. They have everything you could ever think of, and guaranteed a lot of things you could not think of. The streaming side of the equation is way, way more limited. But I find it is also quite capable. It is impressive what they have on there. But that being said, when you take into account that they're going to be having their own original programming, and when you take into account that the future does not lie with DVDs, the future lies in digital content, I think they are positioning themselves to be very competitive in a space that is rife with competition from Apple, and more specifically from Amazon. Amazon's instant streaming for their Prime member is just absolutely killer. It doesn't have... What?
They have Doctor Who.
Well, aside from a few examples, they don't have nearly the breadth of a streaming catalog that Netflix does yet. But Netflix certainly is feeling the pressure from Amazon. So it's a complicated issue, no doubt about it. And you could certainly see this as a negative. And I don't think Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, I don't think he's handled this the right way. He sent this mea culpa email out to subscribers and a blog post basically saying the same thing, saying that he was sorry about the bad communication earlier in the year when they split off the two services and made you pay $8 for each, you know, the streaming and the DVDs. He apologized for that, but then said, oh yeah, and by the way, we're splitting the company in half, too. And it was just like, what? What are you talking about? He didn't do a good job in either situation of explaining what was happening, what was going on. And he needs to get his act together in that regard. But in terms of the strategic vision for the future, I still maintain that they know what they're doing, and that they are well positioned to maintain profitable and maintain as a industry leading force well into the future.
So, Craig, which when the split occurs, who's going to have your money, Netflix or Quixer?
I can answer that question right now. When Netflix introduced the streaming only option in the early summer of 2011. A few months ago, I immediately switched. I immediately went to streaming only because I was very happy with the catalog they have, and I was getting these DVDs, and I was just, you know, not using them. They were sitting collecting dust. So when I had the option to just send that back and not get another one in the mail, and just have access to the online streaming, I jumped at the opportunity. I'm going to go on to my instant queue right now. I wanna just give you an idea of what I use Netflix for because I think it's instructive. I watched seasons 1 through 5 of the Showtime series Weeds on Netflix. Fantastic, by the way. I highly recommend it. I watched the first 2 seasons of Dexter on this. Now, Dexter is no longer available for streaming. That's the downside of the streaming service. They have constantly changing availability because of expiring deals. And companies still don't want to give Netflix too much power. They don't want to just stream all the content all the time because they feel that devalues the content, that devalues their property. But that being said, you do have this constantly changing and up-to-date library of shows. So, like I said, Weeds and at one time Dexter, and they have old shows like The Twilight Zone. They have new shows like American Dad and Family Guy. They have kind of obscure shows like Commander in Chief. Then they have Lost, all the seasons of Lost, all the seasons of 24. They have, all the James Bond movies up to the Pierce Brosnan ones, not including the Pierce Brosnan ones and beyond. But up to that point, they have all of them. Now, they're going to be gone on the 1st of October. So there is, like I said, this changing availability. But they're going to be replaced with something good, I'm sure.
See, I was never really impressed with their streaming
I am.
they have.
I think it is robust. They have all the Star Treks now. Well, that's not technically true. They don't have Deep Space Nine yet, but they're going to. They're going to get that in October. And there's no expiration date for that, at least not announced. That's indefinite. So that's big. They have a lot of very good shows. Now, there is one huge caveat to this. And it is concerning. And it is something that I hope Netflix tries to fix.
Stars is leaving them.
That is exactly right. In February of 2012, Starz is saying goodbye to Netflix. Now, you might ask, well, what does Starz do? Who gives a shit about them? Well, aside from only a couple of original programming, such as Spartacus, what they do is they provide a huge catalog, thousands of movies that are not from 1950, but are from as new as 2011. Toy Story 3, just released a few months ago, is on Netflix right now. You can stream it right now. It's available for streaming right now. I sound like Barack Obama. Pass this bill right away. And you can watch Toy Story 3 right away.
Why?
If you want to listen to any of our past episodes, go to justgettingbypodcast.com and you'll see all the shows that we've done in the past, along with the corresponding show notes, with links to all appropriate news items that we used in the preparation of our shows. And go to iTunes or go to our website and click the link to subscribe to us on iTunes. And on that note, thank you for listening.
Sayonara.